This morning, I use as my text verse 46, the last part of it that Adam read, where Jesus from the cross said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? And this morning, I want to speak on the subject, is God your God or is God your Father? Is God just your God, or is God your Father? You know, it's a natural tendency of a dad to spring to the defense of their children. We as fathers want to protect them. We as fathers will step in harm's way if we see harm coming to our children. Especially true when they're younger, but I don't think it ever, this natural tendency ever goes away from a dad. I think we have it all of our life that we want to protect our children from harm. When they get older, there are some times when we as fathers decide to step back because we feel that they need to learn. And sometimes it hurts us just to step back and see our children have to learn the lessons of life the hard way. But that sometimes is necessary. And you might put what happened on the cross in that same category. Because God stepped back and allowed something that to happen to his son that was not for his good, but for our good. First recorded words of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy in the temple are found in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, when he responded to a question from his mother Mary, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He didn't say, "I had to be about my God's business. I have to be about my Father's business." The last recorded words of our Savior while he was on earth he spoke from heaven to Saul and called him. And Paul records that meeting on the Damascus roads. But the last recorded words of our Savior in his physical body while on this earth was the last thing he said from the cross, recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He didn't say, "God, into your hands I commend my spirit," but he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And between those first words, "Mom, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business?" and those last words, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," I wonder, and I've never taken the time to count, but I wonder how many times Jesus, as recorded in the Bible, referred to God as his Father. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "In heaven, angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Luke 24, 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." He said, not the promise, Jesus didn't say the promise of my God, but the promise of my Father. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." He didn't say, "I and my God are one," but "I and my Father are one." And then in John chapter 20, verse 21, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Again, he did not say, "As my God hath sent me, even so I send you." He said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And these are just a few of the verses in the Bible where Jesus refers to his Father as Father. In fact, I was trying to find some last night I could not find any other scripture in the Bible that God was, or that Jesus was talking about God, that he called him God, except in this saying that he said from the cross. Every other time in the Bible that Jesus referred to God, he called him Father. In fact, if you go back and you look in the Gospels, as they describe the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, that night before the crucifixion, where Jesus went into the garden with his disciples and he took Peter and James and John deeper into the garden. He said, pray with me, just pray with me. And the trials were coming and the cross was coming and Jesus was looking forward. He knew what was coming and he went into the garden and prayed. And six times in that prayer, he called upon his Father. He said, Holy Father. He said, Oh, my Father. He said, Abba, Father, which is like saying Daddy in our terms. And six times he asked the Father, his Father, to be with him as he was going to undergo the trials and the crucifixion. The first word that Jesus said on the cross as he hung on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, as he looked at the Roman soldiers who crucified him, as the crowd who crucified him. The first words that he said from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the last words that he said on the cross were the ones I referred to earlier, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But something changed. From what he said as he hung on the cross at the first, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, until the very end when he was about to give up his life, and he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Something happened in the middle. Because the middle saying of the cross is what we read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. He didn't say, Father, Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What happened between Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? What happened between Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit? What was happening when Jesus did not refer to God as his Father, but he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This morning, in a real simple way, I want to tell you what happened. Because what happened was the greatest thing in the world that could happen for you and I. I need some help this morning. So Harry, would you come up and help me? And Nick, would you come up and help me? And Dennis, would you come up and help me? Oh, and Terrell, you come up and help me too, okay? You three guys just sort of stand right here across the front, just like this, all right? And just sort of look up this way, all right? And Terrell, if you go up and just stand behind the pulpit, okay? Just sort of spread out a little bit, guys, just a little bit, okay? And here you go down that way a little bit. Okay, now, we're going to let Terrell represent God this morning. Sydney, don't say anything. Okay, so Terrell's going to represent God the Father this morning. And we're going to let Harry and Nick and Dennis represent all of us. They represent all of us. God made each one of us. And God wants a relationship with each one of us. And so God wants a relationship with Harry. God wants a relationship with Nick. God wants a relationship with Dennis. And by the way, God wants a relationship with each of you. You know, I get tired of hearing these people say that God made some people to go to hell. They were predestined to go to hell. And I want you to know that that's a lie from the devil. God did not make anybody to go to hell. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe with all my heart God has a place in heaven for every single person. Now, he knows what we're going to do. But his desire is that we not only have a relationship with him while we're on this earth, but that when we die, we will go to heaven and be with him. And so God made us, and he wants to. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. I could stop right here and preach the rest of my sermon. I won't, but I could stop right here. Do you realize that the creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you and wants to have a relationship with me? The one that created the sun and the moon and the stars, the one that created everything we see around us, wants to have a relationship with me. I don't know about you, but I can get excited about that. I can be burning up and have chill bumps go up and down my back. That is so good that God, who is the creator and the sustainer of everything, wants to have a relationship with me. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with these three guys. Okay? He wants a oneness. He wants the fellowship. But something happened. All right? Each one of these three guys, and I didn't pick them specifically to represent, this is true of every single one of us. Every one of those three guys standing up there was born with a sin nature. They have a human father, all three of them. And from our human father, we get our sin nature. Okay? You say, preacher, does our sin nature make us a sinner? No. Our sin nature does not make us a sinner. What makes us a sinner is when we come to that first time in our life when we face a choice. And we know there's a right choice and a wrong choice. And our sin nature talks to us and we make the wrong choice. And so each one of these guys was born with a sin nature. Each one of them faced a decision that they knew right from wrong, and they made the wrong decision, and because of that wrong decision, they became a sinner. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, though our sins be as scarlet. And so we're going to let this scarlet, this is actually something the choir wears every now and then, but we're going to let this, and they're not sinners, but but we're, well, maybe some of them are, but anyhow, but we're going to let this represent their sin, all right? So they have a sin nature. They face a decision. They know the difference between right and wrong. They choose wrong. That sin makes them a sinner. Say, preacher, you mean one sin makes us a sinner? Yeah. Because the Bible says in the book of James, if we offend the law in one point, we are guilty of all. You say, well, what? And I know sometimes I have little kids ask me, well, what's sin? It's real easy to understand sin. Sin is doing something that God told you not to do or not doing something that God told you to do. So God says, thou shalt not lie. If I tell a lie, I'm a sinner because I did something God told me not to do. God said, children, obey your parents. And so if I don't obey my parents, I'm a sinner because I didn't do something God told me to do. All right? And the Bible says if we offend the law in one point, hey, telling a lie is offending the law in one point. Not obeying parents is offending the law in one point. If I offend the law in one point, I'm guilty of all. And so if I tell a lie, I'm a liar. I'm as guilty as I broke all the Ten Commandments. If I don't obey my parents, I'm guilty as I broke all the Ten Commandments. And so all these guys are sinners. And when God sees our sin, he does the same thing to us that he did to Adam and Eve. And he does the same thing to us that he has done to every sinner down through the ages. A holy, righteous God who created us and wants a relationship with us, because of our sin, can't have that relationship. And so God turns his back, so Terrell, turn around, and turns his back on those that he wants to have a relationship with. Because he's a holy God, a righteous God. And it's our sin that has broken up that relationship. Now, I would point out to you that right now in this condition, all three of these guys, God is their God. He's their God. He made them. The air that they breathe is God's air. The earth that they walk on is God's earth. The food that they eat is food provided by God. He is still their God. Always has been, always will be. Just like he's every one of our gods. The air that you breathe is God's air. The earth that you walk on is God's earth. The blessings that you enjoy come from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. He is every one of our gods. Now, here's my message. Here's God. He wants to have a relationship with all three of these guys. Sin prevents it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, he had to kick them out. He kicked them out of the garden. He separated himself because of their sin. When we sin, he separates himself from us because of our sin. So here's God. He wants to have a relationship with all of these guys, with all of us, but he can't because of our sin. There's nothing that Dennis or Nick or Harry can do to change that. Harry might say, well, I'll be a good guy, and I'll do everything I'm supposed to do, and I'll never do anything wrong again, and I'll be as perfect as I can. And maybe Nick says, well, I'll join the church, and I'll get baptized, and I'll just get involved in religion. And Dennis says, well, I'll just be the biggest giver that the church has. Nobody will outgive me. And regardless of how good works they come up with, our good works will not get God to turn around. Hey, God, will you turn around if Harry does everything right from now on? Shake your head, Terrell. No. No, okay. Hey, God, if Nick gets all involved in religion in the church and get baptized and take the Lord's Supper, will you turn around? No. How about if Dennis just gives all his money to the church? Will that make you turn around? No, you see, the Bible says that we're not saved by our works, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing that these three guys can do to get God to turn around. Absolutely nothing that you can get God to do to turn around to you because you're a sinner. And so God had to take matters into his own hands. God had to come up with a plan. He still wants a relationship with these three guys and all of us. So God had to come up with a plan. Brother Jeff, come up here and help me now. All right? So we're going to let Brother Jeff represent Jesus this morning. Okay? I know this might be bad typecasting, but all right. So, God the Father, Jesus, sinners. God says, here's what I'll do. I'll send Jesus to earth. I'll have him live among men. He'll talk to men about the kingdom of God. He'll talk to them about heaven. He'll talk to them about me. In fact, I will let them know more about me through my son, Jesus Christ. Jesus did that for 33 some years. And then God the Father allowed mankind to take Jesus and nail him to a cross. Crucify him. And here's what God the Father did. Tara, I need you to help me now. Here's what God the Father did. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, God the Father came and took all the sin. Brother Terrell, come take these guys' sins. God the Father came and took our sins and put them on Jesus. Okay? Every sin, every one, for every person. Say, preacher, you don't know me. I'm a terrible, terrible sinner. There's things I've done I haven't told anybody, and I'm just ashamed of them. And I'll just tell you this morning, it doesn't matter. I don't know what kind of sinner you are. I know what kind of Savior we have. And God the Father, okay, now, Terrell, turn toward Brother Jeff just for a second, okay? When God the Father took our sins and put them on his son. And God the Father looked at his son. What God the Father had to do when looking at his son is the same thing that he had to do when he looks at all of us and sees our sins. For the first time in all eternity, he had to turn his back on his son. And Jesus, even though the first recorded words, "Don't you know I got to be about my Father's business?" Even though the first recorded words on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Even though the last recorded words on the cross was, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." When God the Father took all the sins of mankind and put them on his son on Calvary, he had to turn his back on his only son. And that's when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he was forsaken by God because he bore the sins of every single person. Hey, and that's not the right way to say it. He bore my sins. Make it personal this morning. He bore your sins. Yeah, I know. He died for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But more important, he died for my sins. Every single one of them. And he died for your sins. And God the Father, when our sins were placed on his son, for the first time in all eternity, had to turn his back on Jesus Christ. And no longer could Jesus say, "Father, Daddy," he had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And on those few minutes, I don't know how long it was, few hours, that Jesus hung on the cross bearing our sins, he suffered what we all deserve. He suffered our hell. Because you see, the worst part about hell is not the fire. The worst part about hell is not the bottomless pit. The worst part about hell is not the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The worst part about hell is being separated from God. And that's what Jesus suffered on Calvary when all our sins were laid upon him. Now, God the Father is able to offer to these three guys and all of us a gift. The Bible calls it the gift of eternal life. And so God the Father turns around. Okay? Now here you turn around. Nick, you turn around. Dennis, you turn around. Okay? God the Father is looking at us again. And he says, "It's possible for us to get our relationship back because my son has bore all your sins. They've been paid for. They've been paid for. And I offer to you the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord." But see, God doesn't force that gift on us. We have to take it. We have to receive it. And the only thing that we have to do to receive it, turn around. Here, you turn around. Okay? No, Dennis, not yet. Stay with me. Stay out of my preaching. Just do what I tell you to do. So here he has decided, "Hey, Jesus died for my sins. I want that relationship. I don't want God to be just my God. I want him to be my Father. I know he's my God. I know he is. But I want more than that. I want him to be my Father." And so here he decides that he's going to trust Jesus. And he prays that prayer that the Bible tells us that we all as sinners need to pray. "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me." And Harry turns around, and the Father and Harry have that relationship. Not just my God, but my Father. Dennis makes the same decision. He turns around. He prays that prayer. God's no longer just his God. He's his Father. Now, I'm going to let Nick represent some of you that are here this morning. the stubborn type. Some of you are here this morning, you've heard what I've been talking about, but you've never turned around. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Now, you've heard it. And you would even say, hey, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And I actually believe what you're talking about. I believe that Jesus did die for my sins. You might say, well, I can't get saved because I just can't live it. You show me in the Bible where it says you have to live it. I mean, after you get saved, God makes all things new. But I'll tell you what, if my salvation depended on me living it, I'd be in hell 1,000 times a day because I can't live it. And neither can you. Our salvation does not depend on what we do. It depended on what Jesus did. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're here and Nick pictures you, I mean, your sins have been paid for. All you got to do is turn around. This morning, I want to tell you something. You need to turn around. You can go on and say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, the Bible says you don't have to feel a certain way. You say, well, I'll do it later. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. You say, well, I don't deserve it. None of us did. Come on, what else is holding you back? What else have you got in your mind and heart that keeps you from turning around and making your God your Father? What is it? This morning I want to tell you whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. God's your God. And if you die and God, that's all He is. If He's your God, He'll be your judge. And one day you'll stand before Him and you'll have to give an account of your sins. But if in simple, childlike faith, you'll just turn around, God becomes not just your God, but your Father. Okay, thank you guys. So let me ask you this morning, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you? Jesus has paid the price for every sin. Every sin. Hey, well, some of them I haven't committed yet. Well, all the sins that you committed after Jesus died. He paid for every sin. And the only thing that you have to do is take that gift of salvation that God offers to every person. And it's as simple as just turning around, saying, God, I know you're my God. I want you to be my Father. And He will. He will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. Let's do just as I am this morning, Adam, if it'd be okay. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've never just simply turned around and received the gift that God has purchased for every person, I beg you this morning, do it today. Please do it today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I will tell you what I tell you often. Today will be the easiest time that you'll have to get saved. If you put it off, it'll be harder the next time. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today and will say with an uplifted hand, preacher, I need to do what you're talking about. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I need to do it today. I wish you'd say a special prayer for me. Would you just slip up your hand? Again, nobody's looking except for me. Just slip up your hand and hold it just for a second. I need to do it. Preacher, I need to do it today. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I need to do it today. Is there anyone? Anyone? Father, I pray today that everybody here is saved. But I can't believe in a crowd this big, there's not maybe one or two that's not. And so I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now and convict us of our sin. Help us see, Father, that we need a Savior. And Jesus is the only one. And so I pray that you would tender that hard heart, that you would speak to that closed mind. And Father, in the next few minutes, the next few moments, the Holy Spirit would work in a mighty way. And that one that's here that doesn't know Christ would just walk down the aisle and say, I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I want to do it today. I pray for that person, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would get a hold of them. You would help them see their need for a Savior and help them to come. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.